Hey, this is Steve Summerall, and thanks for tuning in to Table Talk Podcast.
Number 14.
Thanks for watching and listening to Table Talk, sharing with you about the mind, the carnal mind versus the godly mind and what it can be. Some years ago, I'm talking a whole lot of years ago by now, there is a person who was in politics that got up in a convention and said, you know what? A mind is a terrible thing not to have. And he forgot that the slogan of the group he was talking to said, a mind is a terrible thing not just to have, but to ignore, not to use, not to make it usable. And feed it with good things. But he said, mind's a terrible thing not even to have. And, of course, the place erupted with a little chuckle and humor through the whole thing because he misquoted, said it wrong. Of course, a mind not a... you need a mind. You can't do without one, obviously. But you can guide it, lead it, direct it in a way that it should go. And you can do that. What happens to you when you become a child of God, things changed because you have on different ears, you have on different eyes, and your thinking process has changed because of the Word of God and because of what has happened on the inside of you. The Bible talks about the process called being born again. First time around, you are fleshly and without God. The second time, something happened to you. You took on Jesus. He took on you. He took your sins away and washed them clean by the payment of his blood. The Bible tells us that without the payment called blood, there is no remittance or cleansing of sin. And it can't be anybody's blood. It is God's only begotten, the Son of God. His blood washes away our sins to where we are clean. But beyond clean, we got to wash our mind with the water of the Word of God. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, Paul speaking, he says, I beseech you. And of course, that's King James, meaning I'm imploring you. I know if I want to go with as strong a word as I'm begging you. I don't want to say that, but I'm imploring you. I'm encouraging you. I'm pushing you in that direction. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wow. Think about that just for a moment with me. And the word says, by the mercies of God, present, give over. You give. It's not taken from you. You know, a lot of people think that when they become Christians, they're going to be, you know, cookie cutter people and all dress alike, talk alike, think alike, act alike, just and have no personality at all. No, God made you to have personality. He made us to have emotions and expressions. And, you know, the Bible says that when Jesus went to the grave site where his best bud had died, being Lazarus, he cried. That is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Why? Because he had emotion concerning Lazarus. But he knew what was going to happen. He said he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Boy, and out of the grave he came hopping. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And the Bible says that the religionists conspired from that day on to kill Lazarus and Jesus. So it just wasn't Jesus they wanted to put on the cross. They wanted to do away with Lazarus. Why? Because he was the evidence of a miracle. An evidence of somebody that was very dead, but now very much alive. And I'm sure he's going to testify. You know me, Lazarus. Yeah, I was dead. I mean dead. I was wrapped dead. I was thrown into a cave. They had the big, you know, stones in front of me. I was gone. But somebody called my name, that man named Jesus. And I came out of the tomb. My flesh got put back together again. My mind back together again. My heart back together again. And up I came because I came with a purpose. I came for a reason. And that's what can happen to you. You can live on purpose. You can live with reason. You can live with a fire of God burning inside of you that nobody and nothing can quench. So here we are. It is your reasonable service to present. Here I am, God. Reasonable service to live that sacrificial life that he wants us to live. And then in verse 2, that word says, don't be conformed to this world. Ah, man. In church, I preach this more than one time. But if you can imagine, in a factory, there are molds that mold parts for cars. And when metal is stamped by a mold, or plastic is stamped by a mold, or when a pot or a pan is stamped by a mold, that steel or that plastic is conformed to that mold. And it's by pressure, it's by heat, it is transformed, and not to being a flat, level piece of plastic or of metal or anything else that needs to be conformed. It is straight as a board. But then when the mold hits it, boom, it is conformed. And he's saying, don't be molded by this world. And the world wants to rule and wreck your life. It wants you to conform to what it wants you to be. And the Bible says, no, you can't do that. I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is your good, acceptable, and perfect will of our Heavenly Father. And that is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of the Heavenly Father when we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. It says nothing about being saved here. Nothing about your spirit. It's talking about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind every single day. Well, why every single day? Because we're bombarded every single day. We hear things. We see things. We get entertained by things. We have conversations. And boy, at the end of the day, we need some serious transformation. We need some serious intervention. We need some intervention by the Word of God. We need intervention by praying in the Spirit. I mean, we need to come alive to God and flush out, boom, all that junk and all that stuff that we've heard all day long. And then keep on flushing, keep on praying, keep on believing, keep on living the life that God wants you to live. Is that possible? Absolutely. One more story. There is a man who pastored a great church in Budapest, Hungary. And Hungary had just had its strength given back to it. Dictatorship was gone, going to have free elections. And this pastor was able then to go to different rallies and whatnot and get several members of his church elected to the first electable parliament that they had. And everybody's rejoicing and wonderful, but this man, who was a godly man of God, he went through the ringer with the politics in his nation. So I said, Brother Sumrall, I said, I know you'll believe what I'm talking about and understand what I'm trying to say, but I had to get away from all of that. I had to go into the mountains. I had to go to a little cabin that had nothing there. And I had to fast and pray and get back to the Word of God to get myself back to normal. Because in the politicking and in the campaigning, even though it was our first in a long time, things got nasty, things got vicious, and you hear things and you see things, and the words have power. Never forget that. Words have power, so words were spoken that shouldn't have been spoken by anybody. And so to get back to being a pastor, I needed to get away, get back into the Word of God, and get back into meditating the Word and living that Word through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for watching. I want to thank you for listening. This has been Table Talk.
If you'd like to support Pastor Steve and the work of Sumrall Ministries International, visit smiltd.org and select the Giving tab. Summerall Ministries International is a 501c3 nonprofit organization supporting the work of God here in America and around the world. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll subscribe and please like and share this podcast in the iTunes App Store or Google Play Store.